This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we study more in the second book of the Psalter, from Psalm 50 through Psalm 52. You cast my words behind you, brought forth in iniquity, create in me a clean heart, open my lips, and your steadfast love endures forever. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
My lips
and my mouth shall declare your praise. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Thank you. reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, we're back. After a long break, we barely got started with the quarter, and we take 3 weeks off. Time to rest, visit family, friends, perhaps travel through some snow or some just miserable traffic anyway without the snow. But no matter our experiences over the break, whether we were able to visit family or maybe not, we all share one thing in common, do we not? That we celebrated together with Christian friends far and wide the birth of the Savior of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoicing in that fullness of time in which God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. There was a theologian way back in the 12th century by the name of Hugh of St. Victor who wrote the following. God waited until the whole world had brought its forces together under one empire, and until victorious Rome had reared its head with proud disdain over all kingdoms. Then, when pride ruled all, Christ came in lowliness, that he might break down the loftiness of the world by his own humility. Proud, disdainful Rome, that great society with an unparalleled legal system, brilliant philosophers, artisans, architects, the list goes on and on. And before Rome and its great empire, there were others, the Greeks, before them the Persians, the Babylonians, before them the Assyrians, the Egyptians. They all ruled with proud disdain. Their empire rising, the great civilization, the greatest of all at that time, until the next came up, rose up, and overpowered. And then that former civilization vanished until archaeologists centuries later would dig them up. Throughout all those risings and fallings of one civilization after another, God's people waited, often under the thumb of those civilizations, with their pride ruling over all. Waiting for the promise God had given that he would bring true freedom, release of the captives, that they might know God and know him perfectly. Those Israelites waited and waited until the fullness of time came. Now we'll fast forward. Christ has arrived, born of a woman, born under the law. He has come among us. He preaches and teaches, suffers, dies, rises again, and then before ascending, sends forth his apostles to proclaim this good news of the true freedom that comes only from the Son of God, who gives his life for us. In our text today, St. Paul sums up not just, of course, his preaching, but that of all the apostles as the church went forth with that message of life in Christ. At that time, of course, the church was still under that disdainful rule of proud Rome and had to contend with opposition and struggle. Of course, they had their immediate troubles of dealing with their own Jewish people and their rejection of Christ, of his weakness, not the Messiah they had counted on or hoped for, proclaiming this message of peace that he brought. But the equal challenge went on then with the Roman Empire, with the pagan Gentile cultures into which the gospel needed to be proclaimed. They had to proclaim it in a world in which there was nothing but this wisdom of the wise that was set forth, but Paul refuses, as he says in our text today. Not wisdom, but the foolishness of the cross. Here are his words. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Where does your wisdom rest? In a place of learning like this, that's a dangerous question to ask, but one we must contend with, is it not? There is a lot of learning going on around here. Constant study, refining of our ideas, writing them down precisely to make sure there are no loopholes. And we get rewarded for that erudition, do we not? Good grades, pat on the back, papers published, books acclaimed as the best commentary on this or that book of the Bible. For every one of us, there lies a trap. And Satan knows those secret passageways to our heart, does he not? And how he might, in that very gracious good work we are doing, of proclaiming Christ, of knowing him perfectly, of being trapped ourselves by the wisdom of the world, thinking that we might tune in and be accounted as one who stands with the best. In the previous chapter of this letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes, "Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." And of course, it is all summed up in that verse I have not yet read to you from verse 2 of the text. "I decided to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." There is the folly of the world. I should say to the world, that we would preach a crucified Savior. And yet precisely there, St. Paul says, is the wisdom of God, because he goes on to say, yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, but not the wisdom as the world would count wisdom. We preach of a Savior who came in the flesh, weak, lowly. The world is even aware of his arrival. Shepherds are the first to hear the news. And yet there at the manger, everything has changed. And this wise, wise world knows nothing of what's going on. And even when proclaimed, they refuse to believe what has changed. For in Christ, God has revealed his utter, laid bare his heart of love, and revealed to us the mercy that the world cannot fathom. And our faith is that very faith which trusts that word of God that has been proclaimed, that Christ who has come in the flesh, so that we, in fact, in him, may have life eternal. So as we've now entered yet another year of God's grace, we do so under the cross. Not as fools for Christ so much as those who understand that God's wisdom simply will never align with the wisdom of the world. For it is a wisdom that is characterized by pure mercy, the mercy of a God who would become one of us, that he would bear our sin, our shame, our foolishness, our trust in ourselves and our wisdom. He would bear all that so that we might live in him. In the name of Jesus.
We remember those affected by the fires in Southern California. We also remember the Reverend Gino Marchetti as he recuperates following a recent hospitalization. Let us pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O almighty and saving Father, you see and know that we live in great trouble and danger. Be merciful and protect the lives of those affected by the fires in California. Also, according to your will, heal and restore Gino to full health. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, You have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.
Amen.